Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure that I introduce to Alexander Chumakov, Sasha. Sasha is the scientist in charge of nuclear resonance beamline of the European Synchrotron Radiation Facility, ESRF, in Grenoble. After its upgrade, ESRF EBS, EBS stands for the Excellent Brilliant Torus over 2015 to 2022. ESRF, with its cutting-edge beamlines, became a unique X-ray source generating radiation of unexpected brilliance and coherence for investigating materials of relevance in almost all disciplines. It is most regrettable that Hungary has recently suspended its membership in ESRF. We much very hope that Sasha's participant in Wigner 121 will be a crucial event in the process of restoring Hungary's ESRF membership. Sasha graduated in 1980 from the prestigious Moscow Institute of Physics and Technology. Then he became affiliated with the Kurchatov Institute in Moscow, where his research was focusing on diffraction of mesmer radiation. It would be hopeless to enumerate all topics Sasha played in a decisive role in the ESRF since 1994 when he moved to Grenoble. Nevertheless, the most significant highlights of this period was probably the experimental and theoretical analysis of relation between the boson peaks in gases and one-half singularity in crystals. Besides, Sasha is one of the travel ambassadors of ESRF. He advertised ESRF and collects potential users for the facility all over the world, including Russia and now in Hungary. Right now, Sasha will introduce us to novel field of his results, namely the hard X-ray spectrograph and anomalous soft modes in alpha ions. Sasha, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Edith, for this kind introduction. I would like also to thank organizers for possibility to present here our presentation, and moreover, for possibility to be here for Wigner Symposium. That's first time I'm here. Strange feeling. Sometimes I feel my brain start boiling and coming close to critical point, but it's very interesting impression. So I would like to tell you something maybe much more simple than many previous talks. I will tell you about high X-ray spectrograph and anomalous atomic vibrations in alpha iron. But before going to that, I would like to thank you, to thank Hungary, to thank Hungarian contribution to ESRF. So look here, there is a little bit of statistics for last 10 years. So these are years, this in white are visitors, in red are visits, a little bit more than visitors because one person can visit several times. In this green, there are publications. So you see over all years, it was approximately 10, 15 visits, publications per year. Even in this silent mode where there was upgrade of ESRF and where there was this dark COVID area, even though there were no visits, publication were continued. So you see it was maximum publication per year when there were no visits, kind of delayed fluorescence, if you like. And because of all this, I would like to thank all of you, all visitors of our beamlines, because contribution of Hungary to ESRF first, it makes ESRF better, and your publication makes ESRF famous. Just a few examples. I will start from our nuclear resonance beamline. So somewhere in early 90s, we had Gyula, Feigl, and Miklos Tegze, who came to our beamline to do holography. Our beamline has nothing to do with holography. They chosen us just because they need a stable beam. So they came, they found that beam is more or less stable, not as stable as they needed. And they pushed to us to make it better. So after their visit, or between their visits, we improved liquid nitrogen cooling of our manochromator, and we decreased amplitudes of vibrations now down to 100 nanoradian. If you think about typical size of crystal, this is some chance of atomic radians. So it's really very stable beam. So thanks a lot for Gyula Homiklis. Then next example, also from our beam line, also in early 90s, Danish Nagy and his group start to come to our beam line. They did a lot of fascinating things, studies of antiferromagnetic domains, studies of reciprocity theorem, and in last moment, in the latest moment, they start to focus on small nanoparticles. And this pushed us to improve our beam size. Beam size was about 10, 15 microns. Thanks to pushing of Danish and Daniel, now we have a new instrument, which is called nanoscope. This is basically nothing else like focusing mirror with very short focal distance, okay? So with this, we have sub-micron beam size, something like 400 by 700 millimeters. So thanks a lot, Danish. Thank you, Daniel, for this. It's very useful for all our users. Then, of course, some examples from other beam lines. So ID26, Peter Gladson would like to thank George Ivanko for his many great works. One of them, there was this hot X-ray induced trapping of excited spin transition. I will not go to details because George will have talk. If you think about this more, it's kind of warning of other users. If you can trap high spin during your studies by X-rays, you're not quite sure what do you study. Do you study your sample or do you study effect of high X-rays? So at least from my point of view, it's kind of warning. And then news from Peter. If you now come to beamline, he has this very high resolution spectrometer, so you may do many of Xana's other techniques with much better energy resolution. Another example is from ID11. So this was John Wright asked me to pass you. He appreciates very much work of team of Gabor Rybarik. I even will not go here to details because in crystallography my expertise is vanishing. So and news from John Wright is if you come now to ESRF, after is this what Edit said, upgrade extremely brilliant source. Program, you may do the same studies but factor of 10 faster. So thanks a lot, Gabor, for your contribution. Of course, I cannot count all contributions of Hungarians to ESRF because too many, and because, for example, you see in 2022, main focus was in life science. And life science is sensitive point in the world because it's living, it's doing this living object. And I was explicitly asked not to go to these details because it's a sensitive area. So I stop here now. I again, many thanks to all users of Hungary to ESRF. We hope very much that this dark period that we have now, when I hope temporarily Hungary is no longer, or not yet, I would say, back to membership of ESRF will end at some moment, and we will have pleasure and honor again to have Hungarian users to our beam lines. Okay, so that was easy and pleasant. You know, saying truth is easy and pleasant. Now let's see how I do the rest of my talk. I will try to do it in the following way. First, I will give you some motivation about logic, which push us to come from monochromator to spectrograph. Then I will show you what we have now, optical scheme of this new device. Then I would need to come to experimental results, but this will be about photon spectroscopy, which is done with something which is called nuclear inelastic scattering. And I will need to do you to give you a short introduction to this technique. Then we come to experimental results. Then I will come to observation of strange anomalous atomic vibrations in alpha iron. And then hopefully I will have some time for conclusion. Now, motivation from monochromator to spectrograph. Monochromator is very simple. Yeah. So you have crystal, you state fixed angle, you know Bragg law. 2D sinus phi equal lambda, so for different for given phi you have different lambda. For example, from this spectrum of X-ray generator with molybdenum X-ray tube anode, you may choose only this K-alpha radiation. You suppress all background, which you do not need. You suppress K-beta radiation. If you are good, you may even choose K-alpha 1 radiation, and you do diffraction. Okay, you may also use it for spectroscopy, and that's a bit different because what you need to do, you need to do here angular scan. You do not scan, stay at fixed angle, you scan. With this, you have energy scan, and you scan this your region. And here we may have energy resolution, something like 0.5 millivolt, coming energy is 14 kV. So resolving power energy divided by energy bandwidth approaching 10 to the 8 is great. It's the only experiment in the world, unique, you may say perfect, nice. But if you think about this a little bit more, you may say it's not quite yet. Because for diffraction, it's okay, yeah? So you need only this K alpha. You choose only this K alpha. You kill other radiation because it will disturb your diffraction. But here you may say, guys, what you are doing is stupid. You need all this. You need all these energies. But what you do, you kill some, almost all components except one, and then you need to scan. Why not to use all these energies at once? Because if here I need to scan 100 milli-electron volt, and I need good resolution, I scan with 1 millivolt, you say your efficiency is basically 1%. It's not the way to do good physics. And the way out exists. It's known already from 17th centuries, discovered by Sir Isaac Newton. You all know, so keyword is dispersion. What you do not monochromatize your radiation. You put different components to different angles. Then if you put here some slit, or some position sensitive detector, you may use all these components at once and you are back to 100% efficiency. And there are bad news. This doesn't work for X-rays. For visible light, perfect, for X-ray, not. For trivial reasons, because your refraction coefficient is very close to unity, almost doesn't depend on energy, because your solids mostly not transparent for X-rays, so you cannot do Control C, Control V. But there is also good news, there is another way out. This way you may define it like asymmetric diffraction and dispersion amplification. This is what I will try to introduce you now. In first approximation, it's very simple. So if you come with plane wave of polychromatic radiation to crystal in symmetric reflection, you will reflect only one component in only one direction. You do not have dispersion. All your energies goes to the same angular direction. But if you choose, sorry, if you change and you take not symmetric but asymmetric crystal where planes, atomic planes are not parallel to surface, it's different. You come with plane, polychromatic wave, but different energies, different colors now will be reflected in different angles. And this was known for years. For example, this publication of Matsushita, but was considered as bad effect because it was considered it spoiled your focusing. If you have different directions, you cannot focus. It was Yuri Shvedko who proposed that actually this is a good effect. It could be used for spectrograph. And then good news is that in this way you may have very big dispersion. It means you may have very good energy resolution. Let's compare it with something. This prism, difficult to compare. There are different prisms, different materials. There is some standard object which produces dispersion. All of us know this is rainbow. So angular fan of a rainbow is known. It's a little bit less than 2 degrees. The spectrum of visible light is known. Energy range is a little bit more than 1 electron volt. If you divide angle by energy range, you come to something like 30 microradians per millivolt. This is your dispersion range, so dispersion rate for rainbow. Good news is that with this, for example, spectrograph, which was proposed and realized by Yuri Shvedko, you may have 10 times more dispersion. So it's really very nice dispersion of this different alternative method. You have very good resolution. Bad news is that crystals for X-ray do not reflect in big angular range. They reflect in microradian range. So you may have very good energy resolution, but you will Your energy bandwidth, which you may study simultaneously, will be not so good. Now let's see how it looks in reality. So here, there is your incoming radiation, you have lens. First crystal does nothing, it's just deflector. It produced first inclination of the beam in order to have final beam horizontal. Then here we start with dispersion. This first, second crystal produce very small dispersion, 0.3 microradian per millivolt. So 1% of rainbow. Everything is done by the second crystal, which has asymmetry parameter of 48. So it amplifies this dispersion by factor of 48 and adds the same contribution from itself. And you come to very decent dispersion, something like 28 microradian per millivolt. Then you put another lens to focus X-rays. Here you put slits, and then you may have, after each slit, very good energy resolution, and you may use all these at least five components in a row. So now I would need to go to experimental results, but what I said, still something about experimental results. So what do you do? You put here these five slits and you measure your energy of these components with some technique. So if you do not have slit, you have this energy band, something like 0.55 millielectron volt. If you put slits, after each component, you have very narrow lines. Only 100 millielectron volt. Then what you do, you plot energy of this component as a function of linear displacement, or you may convert it to angular displacement. Then you fit it with a linear fit, you see this expected dispersion about 30 microradians, so we are at least as good as rainbow. And you plot energy resolution, you see that for all components, your energy resolution is about 120 microelectron volt. And now you may apply this new instrument to study solid state physics. And here where I need to do you, to give you a short introduction to nuclear inelastic scattering. As you will see, this is very generic name. Physically, what you do, is not scattering, is absorption, is nuclear inelastic absorption physically. So let's try to do that. I hope this will be easy and fast. So all of you know electronic levels. For example, in iron, KH is 7.1 kV. In nuclei, there are also excited state. For most of nuclei, this is mega electron volts, but there are some nuclear isotopes, which is called Miss Bauer isotopes, where energy is low, where you can do Miss Bauer effect, where you can do Miss Bauer spectroscopy. It's a very interesting topic, but of different talk. So for example, for iron, this level is 14 keV. You have huge cross-section, factor of 10 more than cross-section of photo effect. No surprise, this is a resonant process. The main difference is width of levels. Here, for electronic levels, we have electron volt. Here we have nano-electron volt, so 9 orders of magnitude, which means that your interaction is very slow. You need some time to excite these levels. You need some time to de-excite. So your scattering will be slow. So this makes all difference. You do it like this. You come with incident radiation. Then you put kind of monochromator. You put your sample. You rotate some Bragg angle. This rotation gives you energy scale. You put detector here to measure products of absorption. So here you come with 14 keV radiation, and this is just K alpha fluorescence of samples. So it's product of absorption. You measure this, you have spectrum. And of course, you know that you may have also photo effect. Somehow you need to separate nuclear absorption from electronic absorption. And this you do using time structure of synchrotron radiation. It comes with pulses, width of each pulse, something like 100 picosecond. And there is some time in between of pulses, sometimes 176 nanoseconds. So what you do, you put on your electronic this Vito signal, and you do not allow to count radiation during synchrotron radiation pulses. So you see, to some extent, it's very strange technique. You never use synchrotron radiation. You never count it. You use it to charge nuclei, but you do not count synchrotron radiation. What you count is delayed fluorescence of nuclei. And then from this, you have your final results. What is important? Once again, time of interaction, 10 to the 4 times lifetime of phonons. It means you are not in a position to do scattering. You come with k0, you would like to add something momentum from photons to have k1 of incident radiation, you cannot. Because during your process, this guy changes 10 to the 5 times. So outgoing photon doesn't know where to go. So scattering is not allowed. So what you do, only absorption. And because of this time, what you do averaging in time. So to some extent, what you do, you have dispersion relations, and you, not you, nature. For you, integrate over all momentum transfer, which means if you have some energy of photons, you will absorb on this energy of photons, no, regardless what is Q vector of this position. And what is nice, you do not need analyzer, because here your level is 5 nanoelectron volts. So the very fact that you see absorption means already that you excite this level with accuracy of 7 nanoelectron volt. In reality, of course, resolution is given by instrumental function of your monochrome. Now, in some sense, it's very easy. You may sense what you do. You measure just velocity distribution of vibrations of atoms. It's like you are a policeman, you are on top of autobahn, and you measure velocity of cars which come to you and out of you. Because now suppose you put in each of this car iron 57 nuclei, and you measure radiation of this nuclei. And just by Doppler effect, it's shifted. So it's exactly the same. You may say that this nuclei which goes to you, this goes, they have positive velocity, this negative velocity. In classical approximation, it's like this. Of course, for this energy, classical approximation fails in some moment, and you see this asymmetry, so detailed balance. So you need to speak about creation of phonons here and annihilation of phonons from that side. Then what you do, you have your spectrometer, you have 4 slits, you put here 4 samples, you measure absorption with 4 detectors, and for the moment you put here different samples. For example, you put here 2 hexacyanoferrite, which are basically the same, manganese, iron, CN6, and here there is K3, and here there is NH4 times 2. And you measure them in parallel, which means that you are free of any systematic error, because these measurements done really in parallel at the same time. And you see that these 2 samples have a little bit different acoustic modes, different optical modes. This one, which is enhanced here, this is this famous 3 times degenerated vibrations of iron atom inside this CN6 group. This is instrumental function. You see that it lines are broader. This gives you access to phonon lifetime, and you see that they are different. The shift is very small. The shift is only 1/4 of milli electron volt, but you can measure with huge accuracy. You may do differently. You may put here identical samples, and what we put here, just identical sample of alpha iron, then what you do, you gain from very good resolution from each sample, and you sample, you sum all 4 components, and you gain from very good flux. And this is what we did, and to try it, we put here normal alpha iron at ambient pressure, at room temperature, just to show something in our publication. We didn't expect any surprise, but surprise did come. So what you see here, you expect straight line, and you see some additional modes, which are here, very soft, about few millivolts, and statistical accuracy is given by error bar, and statistical uncertainty is given by error bar, systematic uncertainty is given by size of the symbols. And in order to illustrate you why this is surprising, I come a little bit back to solid state physics. So we know alpha iron for thousands of years, just after Stone Age. We understood alpha iron some way in the beginning of 19th century. So it's very simple body-centered cubic structure in real space, in inverse space. Somewhere in 1960s, Minkiewicz and Bernstein, they measured dispersion relations, so dependence of frequency of vibration on momentum. You have, let's say here, decent three acoustic modes, one longitudinal, two transversal. You know this velocity from sound velocity measurements with some piezo transducers and sensors. Here at low energy, it's just linear dependence omega equal sound velocity times Q. And now if I would like to understand what is the density of state, what is the number of states with the same omega, I just need to find what is the number of states with the same Q, right? So I need to integrate these relations, and I know that equal Q, this is surface of a sphere, and surface of a sphere in Q momentum is 4 pi Q squared. It means the number of states with the same Q proportional to Q squared, or number with the same omega is proportional to omega squared. It's just third course of university Debye model, yeah? If you divide this function by omega squared, you come something what is called reduced density of state, which in first approximation very close to your experimental spectrum, which you measure. And from this, you see it should be straight line. This, what you measure here, yeah, and this actually is proportional, inversely proportional to cube of your mean sound velocity. This actually where how our users measure sound velocity for extreme conditions for megabar pressures and kilo Kelvin temperatures. And if you do it with low energy resolution, you see, right, this is just straight line. Should be nothing there, it's just three acoustic waves. But when you start to do it with 0.1 energy resolution, you see difference. You see this, there are additional modes. And you actually can see even in raw spectrum. So this is your measurements. This is your instrumental function. If you subtract from this, this, you see you cannot subtract entirely. You still will have something. And this would appear after subtraction. Now, let me see. Why this is interesting. Now what I will do, everything which was here was in our publication from 2019. Now I will show you new data which are not yet published. And what is important here, I will compare data which we measured directly with this method which I described, in which we calculated from Newton's result, Newton elastic scattering result, from dispersion relations. So here what you do Q integrated measurements. You don't know where from contribution came, but you cannot miss them because you have ideal integration. Here what you do, you measure frequencies for different, for some limited, big number, but limited number of Q. You have eigenvectors and you check only eigenvectors. You do not care about height, intensity. You do not care about width. You do not care about shape. Tails of this function. Then from these eigenvectors, you fit force constants, and from force constants, you reconstruct density of state. So at room temperature, with the measurements with low resolution, you see they nicely coincide. These are our data. This is what we reconstruct from, no, this is what our colleagues from Munich Technical University sent us as a result of the neutron measurements, they nicely coincide. Maybe you cannot see this because you already have some borrowing of the line even at room temperature, but small effect. Now this what happened if you increase temperature. First, at lower temperature, you see nothing. Here you start to see something. This is what I showed you just with first slide. Here it starts to be more and more and more. And here, let's say when you come to Curie point, it's tremendous. You see, you cannot describe shift of this peaks, you cannot describe broadening of this peak. And in dispersion, you do not see this, what we see in our experiment. You see a lot of these soft modes, which comes from somewhere we don't know, but they're here. And then you go even above Curie, it's something like this. This, when you go already from body centered to face centered iron, this is not so important. Then what you do, you check this difference, access of this mode, and you plot it as a function of temperature, and then you have something like this. So it's almost not visible at room temperature, then it goes up. You may compare with anharmonic vibrations, you should have something like T squared dependence, it's not much different from this. But when you cross Curie point, when your sample is no longer magnetic, it's something special. It goes down, and then goes up, you cross alpha gamma boundary of iron, it's still up. You may plot this, what I showed before. You may estimate broadening of these different peaks, and you may plot lifetime of phonons of broadening, and you see it goes up and it crossed Curie point without any special feature. So the broadening of the peak does not depend on magnetic or whether spectra is magnetic or not magnetic. Then I guess I come close to the end. What we have? There are in general three possible origins. One, something which is called positive curvature of some branch. For example, when you go to this gamma iron, yeah, you have something like this. Your dispersion relation do not go like sinus. It does some positive curvature because of this, you have special modes, but it's only for FCC iron. For BCC iron, you see neutrons do not show it. So it looks like that this could be excluded. Second, it's engramonism. You are no longer in this parabola potential. You are in some Morse potential, so you have special wave function, and for given Q, your eigenvector frequency is no longer delta function. You have something like this. It shifted, it broadened, and maybe it has tail, and maybe piling up of all this tail produce us this soft modes. This, for example, what is proposed in this paper of Schirmacher with Kaosis from 1997. But what we saw, you remember there was also some special feature around Curie point when we have transition from magnetic to non-magnetic alpha iron. So maybe magnons also plays a role here, because here at low energy, you have crossover of magnon wave with some acoustic phonon waves, and then maybe this oscillation of magnetic moments of iron, maybe they also give some mechanical displacement of atoms. Maybe this plays a role. For the moment, that's all what I know. We will study this in more details. So what I would like to propose as a summary. First, X-ray spectrography is possible. We have it for users, for Wollaston spectroscopy. It is also in construction in free electron laser in Stanford. It will be not for phonons for X. Hopefully it will come in 2 years. So if you need to use either this or that, energy resolution is fine. We need to work to increase energy bandwidth. We have some ideas how to do this. There are certainly some anomalous vibration of atoms in alpha iron, seen even at room temperature, possibly from unharmonism or unharmonism related with magnons. And in more general, if you compare, for example, some momentum resolved methods like Newton elastic scattering and momentum integrated methods like nuclear elastic scattering, you see that nuclear elastic scattering is not momentum resolved. On the other hand, when you integrate everything, you cannot miss something. If it exists, you will find it. And sometimes it makes a difference. Thank you very much for your attention. And this, of course, not me alone. There was some collective which did the study.
Thank you very much. This excellent talk. We have plenty of time for your questions.
Crystal clear.
Thank you very much. A great talk. As concerning the possible unharmonicity, can you not couple it to thermal expansion measurements? Because unharmonicity means thermal expansion.
That's right. But you see, thermal expansion is already taken into account here.
I see.
Because we know that it expands, so lattice parameter is up, frequency is lower. This is already here in neutron measurements. So you see it goes a little bit down from 34 to 32, something like this. So it's right, it's there, but what we discuss now is something which is on top of it.
Another question, you of course remember that you the question of the recoil expression of alpha iron at room temperature, that was a long-standing problem, and you have determined it with a great accuracy. It turned out to be something like, well, almost exactly 0.8. Now, can you see the effect of these soft modes?
No, it's within error bar. So this is 0.8 because Lempkin's bar, this is n number of states divided by omega squared. To some extent, in this presentation, it's emphasized.
So it's negligible, yeah.
Goes something like number of states times logarithm number of states. So it's not quite there. So this 0.80 Lempkin's bar factor, it survived. It stays the same.
Yes, thank you very much.
Someone else? If not, I would like to thanks again. It was no.